All right, I'm Adam Rappaport, and this is the Bon Appetit Foodcast. Do you guys know that garlic has a season? And that season is right now. I did not know this, but I learned about it in the October issue of Bon Appetit. We got this awesome garlic primer, like 8 pages packed with information, authored by senior editor Emil Stonick and senior food editor Andy Baragani, and they are on the podcast today to talk about it. So, you know what? Let's do this. Here we are. Garlic, me, Andy, Emil. Because I'm gonna take my jacket off to talk about garlic. And we're recording. Emil, welcome back to the pod.
Hi.
And Andy Baragani.
Hi. I've been on the podcast.
I know. It's been a little while, though. Yeah?
I guess no. Well, I hosted 2 last week.
So feels like...
Yeah, the podcast doesn't exist for Adam unless he's actually on the mic.
Well, I was not in the studio with Andy, so I did not know that he was hosting one.
It's been a minute, yes, since I've been a guest.
All right, so guys, we have a 8-page service primer in our October issue called Garlic Season, and I remember when you guys were like pitching this story in an ideas meeting.
We pitched it like several years
yes,
in a row.
Yes, and I kind of poo-pooed it. I was like, garlic? Like, what do you need to know about garlic that we don't already know?
Oh, I remember that because I think I got like a little...
You got
I got fired up, yeah. I
was like, Andy was mad.
I was a little mad. I was like, oh my God, it's incredible. It's like... This is when it's in season. It's people don't know what to do with it. They mess up. They burn it. There's so many different things that people are not doing with garlic that they should be doing.
I feel like that was one of those meetings also where you were talking about different garlic things and I started talking about different garlic things and there were enough people in the room who were like
yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. You know, there was enough like people being like, that sounds delicious and like, oh, wow, that's news to me. That like feels like a good
yeah. I think it was that combination of like, oh, yeah, I never realized that, and B, like, oh, yeah, I do love it when you roast the garlic with that and it gets all creamy and jammy and sweet yeah. as opposed to doing garlic chips, which are crispy and another mm-hmm. thing, and it is that much more of a versatile ingredient than we mm-hmm. probably think of it as.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Totally. And I think that is, like, the big, you know, the primer is called Garlic Season for a reason, and that is that, you know, this is the best time to be buying garlic. And there are all kinds of, like, you know, it's harvested in the spring and then is, like, what you get, what you're most familiar with, which is like the garlic with like the papery exterior and like the sticky cloves. That's garlic that's been dried for months and then is like it like ready to go come October. And so it's like that's when you want to be like at the farmer's market. And that's like when I like to go and I just stock up. Like sometimes I'll spend like $75 on garlic.
Shut up.
Because it's just like, yeah, you just keep it in a paper bag.
I don't do that, but
I would spend $75 on a Thai. I don't know if I'm spending $75 on garlic.
Well, you're going to cook with it all season. And like when you have to go to the grocery store after using that kind of garlic that's so sticky yeah. and spicy what? And fiery, having to go get those like, you know, like little in the little net, yeah. you know, the three like
so
perfect heads
okay.
are so sad.
So I have a couple questions. It's interesting. So right now we're recording this on October 3rd, I think. And my wife, Simone, came home with a head of garlic yesterday, and I never thought about garlic season before until we did this primer, but it was such a perfect head of garlic, so white, so tight, so perfectly formed, the bulb sort of pushing through, and I was like, I literally thought it was fake. I was like, that is, I thought it was like something you put on like your, like a paperweight or something. So, but if you buy that many, A, how do you store them, and how long do they last? You know, if you buy a lot of meal.
Well, I mean, you know, it's like any other of the kind of storage alliums. It's like you want to keep it away from heat, you want to keep it away from light, and you want to keep it in
moisture,
like,
keep it
and,
away from
and
moisture.
Keep it away from moisture. So what I like to do if I have a lot of garlic, put it in a paper shopping bag, you know, like fold it down or put like a little clothespin on it or something like that, and then just kind of park it on a low shelf or somewhere where it's not going to get like sunlight, you know, put it in the back of a cabinet. If you have like a, you know, a pantry that stays a little mm-hmm. cooler than the rest mm-hmm. of the house, that's a great place for it.
A dark, dry, cool space.
Right. Okay. So let's,
and oh, just to answer yeah. your question about how long it'll last. I mean, it'll last for, if you store it properly, it'll last for months and months and months and months. So you can, you know, if you get your garlic stash for in October, that can get you through the winter.
This is garlic coming from the farmer's market, yeah. not the garlic you're buying at the grocery
okay,
store.
Okay, all right. So we're going to talk about this, your primer, where you have, I think, 5 sort of core recipes, each of which speaks to a different technique in terms of cooking with garlic. But you also have sprinkled about some little interesting facts and queries. And my first one about having garlic on your shelf above your oven where it is both sunny and hot And like you get those little green sprouts popping out, or you slice it in half and there's that green germs. Sprout running throughout the middle. What's the deal with that? Should I be eating it? Should I not be eating it? Can we talk about the sprout?
I mean, it's not going to do any harm if you eat it. It can be, it just can add a slight bitterness to it. So if you do see it, it's not that you should throw, I mean, I would probably throw my garlic out if I saw
you
that.
Would. You would
I
throw would. The whole garlic out? I just remove it.
But I think the easiest thing to do is just to remove it.
Yeah. And that is a byproduct of it just being a little old and not stored so well, would you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, it's just, it's active. It's like getting ready to grow again.
Yeah.
You know, like you can plant garlic cloves like that and you'll get a bulb of garlic eventually. I don't know. That might be wrong. I'm not a farmer. But, but like, yeah, you know, it's not going to kill you. That's the kind of thing. It's like if I am reaching for garlic and it's sprouted and I need like one clove for the recipe, I'll just cut it in half lengthwise, pull that little green sprout out and like keep going. If I was going to make one of these recipes that was like super all about the garlic, I think I might want something a little bit fresher.
Especially, we're going to get to our last recipe, but that entails raw garlic. Mm. And like, if you're going to do that, and this is a delicious recipe, but it's got to be the good stuff. All right, but the opposite of super fresh garlic is garlic that's cooked for a really long time. And our first recipe, I love this name, roast chicken legs with lots of garlic. Andy, you're the recipe developer. Talk to us about this.
Well, I wanted to do something, kind of a slight riff on the very kind of iconic dish, chicken with 40 cloves of garlic. But I wanted to be very, very easy. I wanted to use a cut of meat that was bone in, skin on, and that could go in the oven for a long period of time and not dry out. So I went with bone in chicken legs. That's the thigh and drumstick attached.
Adam's favorite.
I would, if I wanted to separate the thigh from the leg, I could
absolutely
still do it?
Absolutely, okay. You could do that. Amanda Shapiro, she cooked it this week, and that's exactly what she did.
I don't like cutting through like where the joint comes together and you're trying to maneuver around.
I've heard you for years. I completely get it. And with the garlic, I played around with it. First was just cloves of garlic that were separated, or a head of garlic that was separated into cloves, and then I just thought to just cut, I think it's the recipe calls for 8 garlic heads.
Wow.
I think so, 6 or 8. I got to double check. But you cut the garlic heads in half crosswise so that the cloves are exposed. And then.
Sorry, but it's only 4 heads of garlic. Okay, in your fantasy land, Andy, it's 8. I know. We call for 4. So it's 4 chicken legs, thigh and drumstick, about 2 pounds total, 2.5 pounds, and 4, but still 4 full heads.
4
is
a lot.
And that's 8 halves.
Maybe 8 halves,
that's what you remember.
So then you have these 8 halves of garlic, and then you take a lemon, and then you thinly slice that into rounds, and then I use fresh chilies. I use fresh Fresno chilies, but you could use kind of whatever fresh chili you find, serranos, jalapenos, Holland peppers, if you could find those, and then a good amount of olive oil. Give that a toss, some salt, some pepper. If you have some bay leaf or thyme, could be rosemary, whatever kind of hearty herb you have. Give that a toss, and that goes at 300 degrees, uncovered. And what you get is not this crisp, really deep golden brown skin, but almost like, it's not a true confit, but chicken that is very, very tender, where the meat is falling off the bone, and this where you have garlic that's been caramelized and has this rid of its, the slow heat has kind of rid of its spice and heat and has become really mellow and sweet and jammy.
Yeah, the amazing thing about chicken with 40 cloves, you know, generally is just like at the end, you're just like, everybody's fighting over those cloves, you know? It's
you
like You want to
squeeze
them out. You want to smear them on bread. You want to like, you know, you're eating them with every bite of chicken. It's such a luxurious dish. And the thing that I really like about this, in addition to the fact that like, you don't have to peel, you know, 50, 60 cloves of garlic, which like, you know, is kind of tedious. But the other thing that's amazing is that often chicken with 40 cloves is made with whole chickens. And
exactly.
I think this really, just like, if you're going to cook something in the oven, and chicken in the oven until it's like falling apart, it's like, get those breasts out of here. Like, I don't need that.
It's like if you ever get duck confit, they confit the legs.
They don't confit
the breasts. And so this is just the meat that's going to retain the juiciness and fall apartness.
And it's just everything is like perfumed with garlic.
And I wanted to update it with just like a little bit of heat with the fresh chilies and then some brightness with the lemons that become like almost a little lacy and crisp around the edges.
Okay, as I also bring up in every other podcast, just when this is done after 300 degrees, and we're calling for about, I'm going to tell you right here in the recipe in the October issue.
Fact check.
About 90 minutes total. So an hour and a half, that's over that medium temperature of 300. can I hit it with the broiler to crisp it up?
Absolutely. I mean, I've been asked by this by a few different people, readers, Amanda. You could definitely crisp it up under the broiler if you want, just to get that skin really nice and dark. I would watch carefully just to make sure the garlic doesn't get too dark.
Yeah, and you could also, I mean, in situations like this with the braise, sometimes I'll just take the chicken legs out and put those on like a separate, you know, quarter sheet pan or something like that.
Oh, to crisp those up.
To crisp those up. Because like sometimes you don't necessarily want that direct heat on the rest of the things. Yeah, everything else is kind of cooked to perfection.
Like the lemon.
And I get
and
you
stuff,
wanting
the
skin a little crisp. I like the soft chicken skin a little bit.
I would also just say one. When are we doing our broiler podcast? That's going to happen.
That's going to happen.
But don't be the home cook you got your glass of Sauvignon Blanc going, you're chatting with your friends, and you're like, oh, shoot, I forgot that I put it under the broiler. And like broiler can get very hot very quickly.
Yeah. If I'm broiling something, I am standing by.
I'm not going around.
I'll fill that glass of wine and I'll stand there and I'll have that by myself while that's happening.
Okay. So, all right. So that's like the slow and low, get that garlic sweet and jammy with the roast chicken. Next technique, which I feel like I've made a version of this in many different times, in many different iterations, but herby pasta with garlic and green olives. So what are we doing to the pasta, to the garlic in this recipe that we didn't do in the previous one? How are we treating it?
So you're basically taking whole cloves of garlic and you're cooking it in oil and you're smashing the cloves in that oil. So it's going...
Wait. You're smashing them after they go in or are you smashing them before they go in?
Yeah, I'm smashing the garlic in the pot.
That scares me. How are you doing this?
Will you fact check this? Is he really doing that in the recipe?
No, I'm going to say you smash it first and then, I mean, you might do it, but I think the home cook is probably safer to smash it on a cutting board with the side of a knife. You know, where are we? The herb, okay.
8 garlic cloves smashed.
Yeah, you smashed them first.
Yes.
All right, let's start
These recipes were developed in the summer, so.
Yeah, no, either way, listen, if you're a professional chef, you can smash them with garlic. Let's just say you got a cutting board, you take the side of a knife, you put the garlic underneath it, and you just push down nice and hard and it just smashes. So it stays together, but it's flattened and kind of
craggy.
And that's, you know, really what you're doing when you're doing that is you kind of are, you're like busting it all up and you're exposing it to air. This Brad loves talking
releasing the Allison,
which does make it more pungent and fragrant. And, you know, it's like, I think people really get hung up trying to mince garlic. You know, they we talk about this later in the primer, but it's like there are almost no, you will almost never find a recipe in Bon Appetit that calls for finely minced garlic, because it's, if you want it really fine, because you're going to like whisk it into a vinaigrette or something, you're going to grate it on a microplane so it really falls apart and disappears. If you're going to saute it in hot oil, just smash it with the back of a knife so that it's like in small enough pieces that it's going to still infuse the oil, cook fairly evenly.
I mean, I love a smashed garlic because I love how it infuses the oil and then the garlic itself becomes kind of caramelly. Can I just say one thing when I'm making pasta, and we'll get to this, what I'd love to do, smash the garlic, and sometimes it breaks into a couple pieces, whatever, medium hot oil till it starts to simmer and turn brown, and then I take it off the heat and put the top on for like 5 minutes as I do other stuff, and that causes the garlic to kind of mellow and caramelize.
I saw that. You did that in a video. I'm trying to remember.
A cacio pepe one.
Yes.
It takes any edge off that might be there in case, because sometimes you have the heat a little too high or something and it sort of mellows it. All right, so we smashed it. We've simmered the garlic. Now what are we doing next in this recipe?
It's become golden brown, and then... what are we doing?
Emil, have you ever made this pasta? You want to walk Andy through it?
Yeah, Andy. So then that's when you're going to be adding your herbs and your olives and your other things. One of the things that to me feels really important about this recipe and the point that we were trying to make
Wait, can I just have a timeout? Emma, you're the producer. Didn't you tell these guys to prepare for this podcast?
We did prepare.
Okay, anyways. So you have like your fresh herbs. You've got some smashed pitted
Castelvetrano.
God, I can never say that. Yes, and you got your parsley, and it's whatever.
So basically, the whole thing is that a lot of times, you know, we talked about low and slow garlic, but the thing that's, I think, the mistake that people make when they're cooking garlic hot and fast is they're not ready. You know, garlic, when you put it into hot oil, there's like a really fine line between that nice toasty, browned, caramelized, and burnt garlic, which is super acrid, and you will taste it through the entire meal. Yeah. And I think a part of that is people trying to chop their garlic, and it's kind of uneven and weird. And what you want to do in a recipe like this, you smash your garlic, you throw it in the hot oil, and then you have everything else that's going to go into the pan at the ready. It's like, it's in a bowl. You're not trying to like chop something in the 30 seconds between like the garlic hitting the oil and it burning. You really, because that's, it's like a fire extinguisher.
And you're ready to have your pasta going.
Yeah. And so everything's ready to go into the pan, cool it off so that the garlic doesn't cross over.
So that handful of herbs, a splash of pasta water, some butter.
Totally.
That's what's going to create this sauce. And like I said, I mean, I've done it before back in the day when I used to mince garlic before I knew I wasn't supposed to mince garlic. And you'd have it on medium high heat and like that. It turns to bitter and overly brown, and it literally ruins the entire dish.
You got to be ready.
So you got to be ready to go. Yeah, and so that sort of thing where you've got the pasta water and whatnot, and you're tossing it with this like toasty, beautiful garlic, all the fresh herbs, and then I think you're finishing it after you put the butter and the pasta water with a little lemon zest and lemon juice to sort of brighten it up.
So this was really like a garlicky pantry pasta where you're cooking the herbs down. You're cooking parsley in this recipe, but you could use kind of whatever tender herbs you like. And you're cooking the herbs, which isn't something we usually do. You usually add the herbs kind of off heat or towards the end, but it kind of mellows out that kind of grassiness from the parsley, which I really liked. And then you have the briny olives. You have the butter that it's essential to all of our pasta recipes.
Yeah.
And then off heat, we add the lemon zest and the lemon juice to kind of bring it back to life.
And to finish, you also suggest finishing with maybe a little fresh basil. So you've got the herbs that have been cooked for a while and infuse the sauce, and then you have that bright beet at the end.
Exactly.
Which I always love.
Hi, I'm Lale Arakoglu, host of Women Who Travel. Each story from our guests and listeners is totally unique and utterly personal. We love hearing about your first impressions when visiting someplace new.
My first trip to the Patagonia region was on the Argentine side. I couldn't believe the expansive territory. It's like being in Tibet. The emptiness and the harshness really, I found transformative.
Or a story told when safely back on dry land.
You know, things happened every single day. I ran out of gas on a jet ski in the middle of the ocean. And I was like, what if a sea creature comes to eat me? But then I'm delusional. I was like, I'll make friends with it and it won't eat me. And maybe I'll ride that back to shore.
That's how it works.
Yeah.
Join me, Lale Arakoglu, every week for more adventures on Women Who Travel, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
You know, I did not taste this next dish in tastings, and I'm angry about this because I think I was not invited, Andy Baragani, but garlic fried rice.
I think this
the garlickiest.
The garlickiest fried rice. I mean, I'm just like, I'm looking at this picture, and it's got these little beautiful garlic chips on top of this crispy rice with fresh cilantro, I want to say, and little like sesame seeds. And I'm just like, I would house that plate.
It's such a simple dish.
Do you remember how to make it?
Yes. It's under 10 ingredients. The first thing is you're making the garlic chips.
Explain to me that. Like, so, what's up with garlic chips?
So you can, the way I do it is, the key to this is trying to slice your garlic as even as possible. Mm. So I use a mandolin.
Scares
if you me. Have really good knife skills, use a chef's knife. But you want even slices. And then you're going to combine the garlic slices with oil in a nonstick skillet. I'm using a neutral oil.
Ooh, question.
Yes.
Do you add them to hot oil or cold oil?
Cold.
So you bring them up slowly.
Yes, just like I'm making when I'm doing fried shallots.
Yeah.
I do it the same way. So cold oil, garlic, bring it up.
Just so we're clear, cold oil doesn't mean it has to be in the refrigerator. We got some questions about this last week. It doesn't have to be refrigerated oil. Just needs to be
room temp.
Room temp.
Yes.
Room temp, excuse me.
A cold pan. But
yes.
you don't have to keep it
in the refrigerator.
And then you bring that up. And then once the garlic begins to turn just golden, that's when you remove it. Yeah. You don't want it to get too dark because it's going to continue to get...
When you say remove, do you mean remove it from the heat? Or are you taking
you got to get it out of the oil.
Exactly. Okay, and put it on just a paper towel?
Paper towel. I sprinkle it with a little bit of salt just to season the chips.
How do you not just eat them all?
It depends on who I'm seeing later on.
Yeah.
And the thing that's key about this, too, is like the color, they will continue to take on a little bit of color when they're
exactly
out of the oil. So
residual
it's like
heat.
You might look at them and be like, oh, they just look like very golden and lightly toasted. They're going to it, like, miraculously change and get a little bit darker when you take them out. Okay. So you always want to pull them on the earlier side.
So you
side.
Have this beautiful garlic-infused oil. Now, what do you do with it?
So you have your garlic chip side. You have this hot garlic-infused oil. Then you're going to add ginger that's been chopped. You're going to cook that a bit just to kind of mellow out the spice from the ginger. Add an egg that's been lightly beaten. Scramble that up. And then I add 3 cups of cooked short grain rice. So
cold.
Cold.
Ish. And yes. Could that be like leftover takeout?
Leftover
Chinese
takeout
rice?
Is ideal.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're not making... Yeah. I'm not going to tell you to make rice and then wait till it cool it down and all that. And then you kind of spread the rice on the nonstick skillet, kind of flatten it out and just let it cook undisturbed so that it starts to get golden and crispy. You don't want to keep mixing it. This is when it starts to get really crunchy and you want that to happen. So let that cook for about a few minutes and then give it a toss. Let that cook for another few minutes until you see a good amount of crispy pieces. And then off heat, I add the sesame oil, scallions, cilantro, and top it with sesame seeds and garlic chips to finish.
Oh, my God.
And the thing that's so cool about this recipe, too, is, you know, it's like when you're making those garlic chips, you end up with these two distinct products. And it's like you can use it this way, where this is like a really tidy way of seeing the beauty of both this like really garlicky infused oil and these crispy, toasty chips that you can put on anything from a salad to a, you know, a braise to whatever. But you can also just you can use them separately. So you can have that oil and you can save it if you wanted to just make the chips and use them for something. Put that in a pint container, like keep it on your counter, and it'll last for at least a week.
Fry something, you can make salad dressings out of it. Although there is a mistake I noticed on the garlickiest fried rice, Andy, on the recipe. It says 4 servings. This is clearly for one person. I mean, let's be honest here.
Did you see the look in Andy's eyes?
I was like, what? Liesl? Liesl's our recipe editor.
She's amazing. Oh, love you, Liesl.
Throw Liesl under the bus. Yeah, it's not Andy's fault, ladies and gentlemen.
Liesl has not made a mistake in the 5 years that she's worked here.
Okay, I didn't have this one in the breast. Where was I when you guys were testing all these recipes?
Vacation.
Yeah, probably. Cucumbers with ajo blanco sauce. Because this looks so creamy and delicious, but there's no cream in it.
No cream at all.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No dairy.
Creamless.
Talk to us about ajo blanco, Emil.
Well, I think we were really, what we wanted was, you know, we both really love garlic. Raw garlic-based condiments, whether that's like a classic super garlicky aioli or like the Lebanese garlic spread toum, which is basically just pureed garlic, really fluffy pureed garlic. And we were trying to think of like another kind of like, and those are the kind of things that like if you have those in the fridge, anything from like, you know, a piece of fried bread to like a can of tuna to whatever becomes this like just electrified.
Crudité.
You know? Exactly. So we were like, okay, what's a sauce that we can tell people to make and that will be their kind of like go to, you know, because like a raw garlic condiment's kind of like a cross between like a creamy thing and like a hot sauce almost because it has so much heat and flavor.
But I think I have made raw garlic sort of hors d'oeuvre things at a cocktail party back in my young single days did not go over well.
Because like you
have to
garlic.
Do it right. Yeah, you got to do it right because it can go from being delicious to like, oh my God, that's so garlicky and not delicious. So
little goes a long way.
So explain the key to making the ajo blanco and why it is so irresistible.
So again, we wanted to develop just kind of an all-purpose sauce, and there's not actually a lot of garlic in this. There's just one garlic clove for the sauce. Which is more than enough because it's going to get more garlicky as the sauce sits.
I think that's the thing that people don't understand. And Adam, what you were just talking about, like making mistakes with using too much raw garlic. Like sometimes if I'm making just a super simple yogurt sauce where I'm just adding salt and like a grated clove of garlic to yogurt, you might taste it and be like, you know, taste it at noon, you know, 5 hours before people show up at your house. And you're like, oh, this could use a little bit more garlic, but it's always going to, as it kind of like releases its flavor into the medium, it's going to get sharper.
I've also borrowed that from you in terms of home entertaining. Like you'll often get some nice tangy Greek yogurt. You'll microplane is it a cup of yogurt or probably like how much yogurt for one clove would you say?
Two
cups?
Like, yeah,
for one cup of yogurt or 2 cups of yogurt for one garlic clove?
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I'll do 3 cups of yogurt, 1 garlic clove.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyways, you'll microplane that in, mix it in, a little salt and pepper. Will you put any lemon juice or anything? Or
sometimes
just
a little lemon juice, but I also think
olive oil on top just for zhuzh.
Yeah, sometimes, but I think like it can just be. So, I mean, you know, it depends on what you're serving this with, but I think it can really just literally be as simple as yogurt, grated garlic, salt, pepper optional, squeeze of lemon. Often, like the yogurt, it depends on the yogurt. Sometimes it'll have enough acidity on its own. Mm-hmm. You know, it's adding salt to the yogurt, I think, is part of the thing.
A good amount
like,
of salt.
You're like, wow, whoa. This tastes like sauce.
So how do we make the ajo blanco?
So the sauce, it just comes together in a blender. It's just 5 ingredients, 6 including ice water. And it's grated garlic, blanched almonds, blanched whole almonds, olive oil, and sherry vinegar. You don't have to, if you don't have sherry vinegar, you could use white wine, red wine. I just really like sherry vinegar. Yeah. You blend that up, and then you pour ice water just to kind of make it really smooth and get a really smooth consistency, but also so that the garlic doesn't warm. Some blenders, they can kind of heat up, and I don't want that to happen. I want the kind of spicy garlic flavor to stay through.
But you want it, when it's done, it should be pretty smooth,
It should be very
it's
smooth.
It's not chunky
of thing. Really velvety.
Does it help to put through a sieve or something?
No, unnecessary. No.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
Next question.
And then season with lots of kosher salt, you say?
Yes. You need a lot of salt because you have fat from the almonds and fat from the olive oil.
So then you've got a beautiful plate of sliced sort of Persian cucumber spears.
Yes.
Laid on a platter.
Yeah, they're just something kind of crunchy. Again, this sauce, we wanted to showcase the sauce, so it was just kind of spooned over on a plate and then kind of scattered some Persian cucumbers and then put some more almonds on top and a little bit more sauce. And
those
salt.
For those like basic blanched almonds, those are the skinless ones you find at the store. Toast them in the oven for a little bit to bring out their flavor.
Yes.
Yeah, very simple.
And this would be a great dip for crudité. It would be great spooned over, like, even just like a piece of fish. Mm-hmm. It's like a really, like a piece of steamed fish or something like that, like keeping it really simple.
Oh, speaking of which, we forgot the recipe on the very front of the garlic season primer, Andy's own. All right, so Andy worked in professional restaurant kitchens before he came to Bon Appetit.
He's blushing.
Yeah, he was like a line cook, chef guy. This, I would say, is by far the most restaurant-y.
By far.
Yeah, so explain to us your slow-cooked halibut with garlic cream and fennel.
This is something that I thought of right away for this story, and I think I was so stubborn that I was never going to let this dish go because I knew exactly how I wanted to, how it was going to look like, and I wanted it in the magazine, and I always wanted a kind of all-white dish. It's not exactly all-white because there's kind of like this.
It's three-quarters white.
Three-quarters white.
It's kind of an accrue.
But it just, I don't know really where it came from, but so you want to start off with a white fish. Pollock, cod work great. I use halibut, but any kind of white fish. One fillet, which should be around 1.5 pounds for 4 people. And then you're going to preheat your oven at 250, and then you're going to need a wide saucepan. And when I say that, that's basically means a skillet with high walls. That's what it basically is. And then you're going to place fennel that's been cut into wedges, cream, garlic. I think we're using about 8 garlic cloves I call for.
You did call for 8 garlic cloves, thinly sliced. And just to be clear, so you've got this rather decent-sized piece of fish, and we're calling for 4 cups of heavy cream. So it's all sort of like luxuriating in this bath.
You need a lot of cream because you want the fish to be submerged.
Because you're poaching it, essentially.
You will have leftover sauce, which... Yeah. We'll talk about that later. And then you're going to place this kind of fennel garlic mixture with the cream over low heat. And you're doing this just to kind of get the fennel a head start since it's really tough and fibrous. Mm-hmm. It needs to cook a little bit. And then once the cream starts to kind of lightly bubble, that's when you're going to slip the fillet of fish in. Oh.
So at that point, that cream has also been infused with all that thinly sliced garlic. And because you've sliced it so thinly, that happens pretty quickly.
Oh, okay.
Like, you know, the fennel's like starting to cook a little bit, but also the hot cream. And the thing that's cool about garlic is that it is both water and fat soluble. So it infuses really well into things like oil, like we talked about earlier, or like the fat and heavy cream. But also, you can also just cook it in water and infuse the water with
and
with
this
that.
This is also something with Thanksgiving coming up. And if you want to make garlic mashed potatoes, you can infuse your milk/cream, butter mixture, whatever it is, your using to sort of zhuzh up your mashed potatoes and infuse it. And then you can, if you want to, if there are a couple of big chunks, you can just scoop
smash
out or smash it in or take the garlic out. It depends what you want to do. What you don't want to do, which my friend Reed Moyo in Washington, D.C. did one year, just added a bunch of chopped raw garlic to the mashed potatoes.
And did he do a good job of mincing it?
He did a terrible job on all fronts. And Reed is no longer on mashed potato duty.
Oh, God.
But yeah, you can just infuse the cream and then you'll have all the flavor of garlic without any sort of bitterness or heat or acridness.
So you have this garlic-infused cream with the fennel and the fish, and then we're going to remove it from direct heat off the stovetop and then transfer it to the oven, 250. It's going to go for about 20 minutes.
Uncovered?
Uncovered.
Okay.
And then your fish...
So I have a question. So when you, if you have like a one large piece of fish or a couple of small half sizes, how high up the sides of the fish should the fish be? Totally submerged, halfway submerged? Like what is ideal in terms of...
When I was developing, it was submerged by maybe a half an inch, so okay. It doesn't need to be submerged completely by like 2 inches of cream.
Mm-hmm. You know.
Ideally, just slightly submerged, just so it cooks evenly.
So it's fully poaching. Mm-hmm.
And then you transfer it to the oven, and after 20 minutes, you kind of end up with this really garlicky cream sauce, fennel that is tender, and then this fish that's been poached in this garlic cream sauce that begins to flake, and it's beautiful. While it's cooking, you want to make a sauce, a really simple sauce.
Sauce for the sauce?
Sauce for the sauce.
Yeah, that's peak Andy, yeah. Sauce for the sauce.
Well, you have this kind of fatty, creamy, velvety garlic sauce, so I needed something to kind of bring it back to life again. And using those fennel fronds from the fennel, I just make a quick sauce with chopped up fennel fronds, oil, salt, and then a little trick that I do with lemon, which is basically a whole lemon sauce, where I cut the skin, the pith, and some of the flesh. I finally chop it and then stir that in. So it has like texture, it's a little bit bitter, it's bright, you're biting into a piece of lemon, but it works out really well because you kind of have the fat from the olive oil that cuts the bitterness, and it just becomes this incredible sauce.
So when you're plating each serving, you do a little droplets of this over
exactly.
the cream.
Yeah, it's like this oil droplets, but then the kind of scattered fennel fronds on top, and it's beautiful on top of the kind of white cream sauce.
It's a really like elegant and like beautiful dip. Like it's just like very like soft and luxurious, and like the fish, you know, it's like that's like one of my favorite ways to cook fish also, just because you're like, you don't need that kind of like high heat, like
also, did I overcook it, did I undercook it?
No, it's just like, yeah, and I feel like you have also some leeway here. It's like you obviously don't want to leave it in for like an extra 15 minutes, but when the heat's that low, that fish is just going to cook super gently, just so it's kind of flaking and falling apart.
I'm looking at the picture now, and Susie Theodoro, love her to death, she's an incredible food stylist we use here at BA. I made her plate that dish at least 3 or 4 times.
I remember looking through all the film. Like, there are like 100 images of various shapes. What I like a lot about this dish, and you can see the picture in the garlic season primer in our October issue, is as sort of sophisticated that it is, it's basically comfort food.
Absolutely.
It's creamy, it's soft, it's delicious. Yeah, from the fennel to the fish to the sauce.
Well, and it's like, I think that's what we wanted all of these recipes to feel like. You know, to us, like, garlic is comfort. You know, it's fall food. It's like the weather's getting colder. It's like big flavors from these little ingredients. And so I think that's really, you know, at the heart of all of these recipes.
Yeah, so you can check out these recipes and garlic advice in the October issue of Bon Appetit and the story entitled Garlic Season, or you can find them on bonappetit.com, or you can subscribe to our newsletter, our podcast newsletter, to get links to all the recipes and everything else we spoke about. And to do that, go to tinyletter.com/foodcast. Sign up for our newsletter. You get it every week to go with your favorite podcast. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks, Adam.
The Bon Appetit Foodcast is produced by Carrie Polis and Christina Che, and produced and edited by Emma Wortsman. Our theme music is by Nathaniel Wortsman. We have new episodes every Wednesday, and if you want to tell us about this or any other episode, email us at bonappetitfoodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.